Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace.
I'm Manny.
And this week's episode of the Comic Source, we're going to be talking about a couple of titles that tie into DC's current big event that's going on right now, Dark Knight's Metal. We're going to be talking about Batman the Red Death, number one, and Nightwing, number 29. So, for those of you not familiar with Metal, just a quick kind of refresher, I guess, or 30-second elevator pitch. So basically, there's these metals in the universe, the DC universe, that are rare, and they get more rare as you go down this scale till you get to the nth metal, which longtime Hawkman fans will recognize that name. It has anti-gravitational powers, among other things. It's what allows Hawkman to fly. And Batman's been kind of collecting these medals, and unbeknownst to him, he's kind of a little bit of a puppet on a string. Apparently there is some dark bat god-like creature who is going to be using Batman himself as a doorway into our multiverse, because apparently there is a dark multiverse that exists, and through some reason that maybe we'll find out, or perhaps through coincidence, or perhaps through the fact that Scott Snyder is writing the story and the guy really loves Batman, These universes of this dark multiverse all have kind of a Batman mashup with another character, right? So like a Batman slash Aquaman, or a Batman slash Flash, or a Batman slash Joker. But they're all kind of evil versions. Or Batman had a bad day and made a bad choice. And yeah, doesn't exactly make sense to me yet either. I suppose as the story goes on and we learn, perhaps it'll make a little more sense. But Batman the Red Death is kind of the origin story of the Batman Flash mashup. Written by Joshua Williamson, who a lot of you may know from his current run on Flash. His art partner on the book is one of the same artists that he works with frequently on the Flash title, and that's Carmine DiGiandomenico. Colors are by Ivan Placencia, and letters are by Tom Napolitano. So if any of you have heard me talk about DiGiandomenico's art in Flash, you're probably going to know what I'm going to say about the art in this book, right? And I just didn't care for it that much. The story was interesting. I especially enjoyed kind of the back and forth between the alternate universe Flash and the alternate universe Batman at the beginning, and seeing how Batman kind of stole Flash's powers. That was kind of interesting. I liked the way that was laid out, even though I didn't necessarily care for the rendering itself. And then the second half of the book is all just kind of, I don't know, setup kind of. If there's one complaint I had about this issue, it's like it had a little bit of a kind of building of suspense in the beginning. And then Batman just became Bat Flash, the Red Machine, you know, whatever they want to call it, Death, whatever, you know, he just became Flash, Batman slash Flash, Blash, maybe we'll call him. And then he came over to our Central City, and then he fought the Flash for like one panel and defeated him. And then that was it. It was like, read the next one-shot. So, I don't know. Are these one-shots going to be worth it? Because as I said, there's all these different mashups, right? Like 7 different Batman slash whatever. And so DC's going to put a one-shot out for each one. And based on how much this one tied into the overall story of Metal, they're not necessary to understand what's going on with Metal. Wasn't really much... I mean, I guess it enriches the story a little bit, because you're going to kind of see what these evil Batman slash whoever's are doing, and how they get there, and seeing their origins is kind of interesting. But as I said, I really don't think it's completely necessary for the story. But what it goes back to is the same thing I said about the Flash title. Unfortunately, I may have really loved this issue if I didn't dislike it so much. You know, the story was okay, but this art didn't do it any favors. You know, like if the art was absolutely amazing, then I might have been saying, yeah, this was a, you know, a great comic, because at the end of the day, it's 50% words and it's 50% pictures. And, you know, it wasn't a bad comic from the sense of, you know, story structure and dialogue and all that. You know, it was fine. But then the art is such a letdown, right? So, you know, like if I was grading it on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give it like a 5. And, you know, 4 of those 5 are the words, and 1 of the 5 is the art, you know what I mean? So it only adds up to a 5, where, you know, if you can get some halfway decent art,
the art... Oh my god.
If the art was even, like, equal to the words, that's an 8, and that's a great comic. But, I don't know, the art's just too messy for me. I will say, as much as I don't care for DiGiandomenico's rendering style, Capullo did an incredible job designing this character. I really love the way he looks, especially the logo on the chest. And the coloring, I thought, was done very well as well. Very reminiscent of Crisis with the red skies and all that. And, you know, as much as I didn't like DiGiandomenico's art, he does a good job of capturing the mood. This definitely feels like a dark book. Kind of a, I don't want to say sad, but menace, I guess is a good word. There's very much a sense of menace. And his art style does kind of suit that. But I know a lot of that has to do with the mood that's set by the colors. So I don't want to say the art was, you know, completely awful, because he did do a good job of giving that feel of something bad's going to happen. So I know originally, Manny, that you didn't like DiGiandomenico's art either, but I know he kind of turned you around. It kind of grew on you. So I'm interested to hear your take on Batman the Red Death.
It was good. The fact that the artwork was so close to the Flash book, it made it it made it more enjoyable for me, just because it's kind of like what I'm used to reading the Flash, even though I'm a little bit behind now. But I was like, oh, this is a Flash book, because I recognize the artwork. So his interaction with Batman and everything, I thought, I mean, it just seemed like something out of the Flash. So I, unlike you, the artwork did grow on me, and I like the style for the Flash, because it's like a little bit messy and a little bit, it just feels fast. I don't know, the exact words for it, but, it's fine. The only thing I didn't like about this, it's kind of predictable. It kind of let me down, because it kind of gives me an idea, more or less, of what the other one-shots are going to be like. It's going to be pretty much Batman making that one decision that he not necessarily wouldn't make in the modern, in our universe. Although, let's be honest, he has made some questionable decisions by trying to clone himself in our universe, because there always needs to be a Batman. But in this case, it's like, oh, if I have your super speed, then I can be everywhere at once, or fast enough to stop everything. So it's like, oh, okay, so that's how we did it. So then you kind of think about the other Justice League members and the other Dark Knights, and you think about what he would take from them and how it relates to it turning him into a dark version. I will say the best part about this book, and I'm sure you said Manny probably thinks this is really awesome, is the one page spread of Batman with the Captain Cold glasses and the cold gun. That was dope. Because you know that Captain Cold is one of my favorite villains. Batman's my favorite superhero, and they've gone ahead and put them together into something awesome.
Well, with Captain Cold, he had all the rogues' weapons.
Yeah, but I mean, he had the shades, which was kind of dumb, but you know, it's cool.
and it was recognizable as Cap, because I was like, why does he have? Are those like those look like Captain Cold's glasses? But maybe just a bad job drawing. And then I realized he's like, oh wait, he has the rogue's weapons. Okay.
Although I don't understand exactly why he needs Captain Cold's glasses, because he already has a mask on. So that part was weird, but yeah. Acceptable for me because it's a cool little mashup. So that's the best panel of the book. I'm not sure how far along we're going to get into spoilers, but my least favorite part of the book, and I hate this because they do it in animated series, comic books alike, is the Flash is saved by a certain someone who seems to me to only appear to save people at the very end of books and animated series. So I thought that was an awesome cop out, but it's kind of old. It was okay. It wasn't, it kind of let me down because I wanted it to further the metal story a little bit more, but it just kind of let me know where one of them was from. It was nothing too special. I mean, the covers are going to be great and, you know, there are some good moments with, you know, Batman with the rogue weapon and stuff, but it's really just an add-on. It's not necessary.
Yeah, I do kind of agree with you that, you know, we've seen Batman make some questionable decisions before, but to the point where he would, you know, he talks about sacrifice and, you know, the Flash character's always been about sacrifice. And Batman's willing to sacrifice himself, but he's willing to sacrifice Barry as well. And that didn't necessarily sit with me. And so it kind of starts to beg the question, right? And we're going to see this, you know, because I agree with you. We've probably, based on the story structure of this one shot, it's probably going to be a similar story structure in all of them. You get a little bit of origin, then you get to see them come to our universe, right? So we're going to see Batman over and over make this choice, and probably the method of the way he kind of merges or steals the powers of these other Justice Leaguers is probably going to vary from story to story. But you start to question, right? Like, if the version of a Bruce Wayne from another universe would make this kind of decision, would, you know, like basically kill Barry Allen and steal his powers, at what point do you not call him Batman? You know what I'm saying? Because to me, and I understand it's an alternate reality and decision, whatever, but at the core, I just don't see Bruce Wayne doing that, right? It just doesn't, say Batman to me. You know, it's like if you have all these different versions of Superman, at what point does he go bad? And then to me, that means he's not Superman. He's some other, you know, I understand it's a different version and whatever, but I don't know. To me, that's kind of weird. The other thing though, that I did enjoy was the fact that even though he's merged himself and he has these powers and he's looking pretty rough around the edges, when, the Red Death got to our universe and, you know, Flash came to confront him, he recognized his voice. He's like, Bruce, what the heck's going on? Clearly bad times. As far as my favorite panel, it's probably that last page. I just love the way, that symbol looked in the sky. The, bat slash flash symbol, the blash symbol, looked really cool.
It's a good symbol. It looks good on the character too. Yeah. Like you were saying.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, really hoping that I can see more of this Red Death character, but I'd like to see a different rendering. And as far as the Flash getting kind of saved at the last instant, I didn't really think too much of it. That character that that's kind of responsible for that, in my opinion, is underused. And then he gets thrown in and used it in situations like this. And yeah, it does feel a little cheap. But until you mentioned it, I didn't really notice it. So I guess it didn't really bother me too much. So it'd be interesting to see Scott Snyder's take on that character as Snyder's writing the main metal series. And obviously probably has a hand in all these one-shots as well. So, all right. Next up, we're going to talk about Nightwing, Gotham Resistance Part 2, which was in Nightwing 29. Writer is Tim Seeley. The art is by Paul Pelletier. Inks by Drew Hennessy. And the colors are by Adriano Lucas and Dave and Troy. A Larger World's Dave and Troy handle the letters. I have not heard of them. First of all, I will say about this issue that the art was spectacular. I've always been a fan of Paul Pelletier. As opposed to Teen Titans last week, this didn't have that same kind of fun adventure feel. So I wonder, with all these different parts of Gotham Resistance playing out over, you know, different titles, you know, part one, part two, part three, with different writers on them, I imagine it's going to be collected at some point. It may make for a bit of an uneven read. And I wouldn't be surprised to find out that Tim Seeley doesn't like Damian Wayne. And I understand Damian's a main character in Teen Titans, and so maybe you, I don't know, make him more the hero of the story. But in this issue, man, he's everything I can't stand about Damian Wayne. He does nothing but, like, complain. And I did have some insight into Damian more so than I ever have before, just based on what you said when we talked about the Teen Titans issue and just how he's kind of a mini Batman, you know, that arrogance or whatever. And I never thought about that before. But none of that comes through here. He doesn't come across as capable or intelligent or anything. He just comes across as a spoiled brat. And, super, super annoying. As opposed to Nightwing, who comes across as, you know, very capable. And I suppose it is his book, so he's got to be kind of the hero of it. But the colors are really, really done well by Adriano Lucas. You know, a lot of blues and whites, being that this is snow. I have to admit, I'm not caught up with Nightwing. I'm a few issues behind, so I wasn't sure what was going on with the bleeding wound on Dick's forehead. So that kind of threw me for a loop. But I definitely felt like this issue advanced the story a lot more than last issue. We had a lot of action. And starting to kind of see this Gotham Resistance as a team come together. So I definitely enjoyed this book. Again, it's one of those situations where solid writing, solid art, it makes, you know, together they're more than the sum of the parts. So it makes for a great book. You know, like maybe you give it a 3.5 or 4 on writing, and a 3.5 and a 4 on art, which, you know, on its own is not great, but you put it together and you have like a 7 or 8 comic, which is, you know, above average. So really enjoyed it. As I said, both the story and the art and the colors as well. And the cover too was pretty awesome. Did you realize who did that cover, Manny?
Yeah, I did.
Stefan Sedgwick, that we know from a lot of his work over at Top Cow. So really, really a solid book all the way around. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely a Nightwing book. It's really interesting how they continue to, we know how Nightwing is consistently, most people know, think of him as the next Batman, or the one who would Oh, he's taken the mantle before when Bruce is missing, but in this case, you can kind of see that he's kind of processing it and he's thinking about it. Not necessarily that he has to take over, but you know, like, oh well, you know, he's not here. I can't find him or whatever. But he's really stressing out about his decisions and things he's done, things he has to do. So it's truly Dick Grayson, you know, fumbling with that, with the thoughts of him and his responsibilities. And yeah, you're right. Damien is a little bit annoying in this book, but I think there might be a writer who's got it in for him a little bit. So, I love Damien. He's to me, as far as the best Robin, my favorite Robin, just because he's actually Bruce's son. His mom, his grandfather, and, you know, it's just so much good there.
Yeah, but he's also actually a dick.
I know, but if you think about Bruce Wayne, you think about Batman, it's the closest to Batman. It's like, it's a miniature version of him. So.
No, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work for me at all. He was awful in this book. Like, just a jerk.
So, yeah, it was good. And I like the art. My favorite panel. I don't know why I love Cold Villain so much, but Freeze is another one of my favorite villains. It's the panel with him front and center. I mean, he has the marshmallow monsters behind him from Frozen. He has more than one though. And he has that awesome sword and he has, you know, just, he looks obviously in his element. It's just one of the best depiction of Mr. Freeze that I've ever seen. Just so powerful looking for once instead of, stuck in a mechanical, in a refrigerated suit. So, you know which page I'm talking about?
Yeah. I didn't really think about that, but you're right. Like, based on the fact that it's basically a new ice age here in Gotham, that yeah, he gets to just be kind of out there, and yeah, and you always kind of think of him in that suit and kind of like the power's coming from the suit, but clearly you see here that you know, the power is within him. He doesn't, as you said, need a suit. So yeah,
obviously, yeah, a lot's coming from that metal card that was handed to him.
Yeah.
But you know, it looks really cool.
Yeah, that is an awesome page. I'm sure you'd love to have the original art for that.
Freeze.
Yeah, really, really.
By the way, just quick note: any Mr. Freeze that is on any page when he talks, it's Arnold in my head. Always and always will be.
You know what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. So bad.
So good, man. You get, it's so bad, it's good. Come on.
So bad. All right. Anything else to say about Nightwing?
I want to get your feeling. What do you think of these Joker Robins?
I'm kind of reserving judgment, you know? I'm going to say this, it's not going to surprise you at all. I don't like the Joker. So.
Yeah, I know.
Mashing them up with Robin, this doesn't really do much for me. I think there are a lot more interesting things they could have done. Maybe there'll be cool characters. Most likely they're going to be throwaways. Most likely I'm not going to, you know, they don't feel threatening to me. It's just, yeah, I really think they could have done something more interesting. I'll say that. One other thing I want to mention about Nightwing, and I think this goes back to the writer Tim Seeley having such a great grasp on who Dick Grayson is. I loved the narration throughout the book by Dick Grayson and the doubts that he's sharing, right? I mean, that's something that's pretty unique in a superhero book. You usually don't have insight. Used to be that thought bubbles were a big thing in comics. You used to kind of get insight into what a character was thinking. Those kind of have gone away. But with this first person narrative from Dick throughout the book, really start to see him have the doubts, because as Manny said, he's worn the mantle before, he's always been considered kind of the next in line, and if Bruce is being controlled by this bat god-like creature, then could he hold some sway over Dick, as, you know, Dick is kind of the successor to the title and the mantle. And Dick is smart enough and self-aware enough to realize that's a possibility, and it makes him kind of second-guess himself, and really feel like it makes a character a little more relatable. There's plenty of times where Dick Grayson just seems like he's, like, the perfect superhero, right? Like, he always does the right thing, and he always sees the world in black and white, and he's always on the side of angels. And, you know, that can get boring at times, so showing this kind of weakness and vulnerability kind of makes him more relatable. So I did enjoy that.
You know, sometimes I like the fact he actually seems like he may be closer to a better Batman than Bruce Wayne, just because of that. He's a little bit more grounded.
Yeah, he can see things a little more objectively because he's not obsessed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because I don't. Part of my it was back when they did the Futures End covers, and I guess it carried over, was when I found out that Batman was trying to clone himself in order. It's like, no, the world was always have a Batman. It's like, oh, yeah. That's a little crazy. Yeah, and exactly. So at the end of Endgame, or no, not Endgame, this was after Endgame. So at the end of the New 52, when you find out that he still has the cloning machine and things like that, and then here, it's kind of like, you know what? I love Batman, but
you've crossed a line, my friend.
He has a, yeah, a little bit, yeah. but what can I say? I have to defend him. Nightwing's definitely that a lot more level-headed. I like, he gets into relationships, he's out of relationships, he goes off to do his own thing, but at the same time, he still comes back when necessary. You see him take Damian under his wing all the time, even though he's annoying. I think Nightwing's a way more solid character than most, than anyone else in the Bat family.
Yeah, and I almost feel like it's ever since Identity Crisis and then leading into Infinite Crisis. For whatever reason, the DC powers that be at DC kind of chose to kind of bring out a darker side of Batman and make him less of a, you know, a white hat, so to speak. You know, I don't know if it was just to have a new way to tell stories or if it just seemed like the logical extension of the darker universe that they were kind of that direction they were heading. But, you know, as soon as they basically put it in canon that Batman had these spy satellites to spy on the rest of the Justice League and took it upon himself to make sure he had a way to defeat all of them in case, you know, any of them ever, you know, turned evil, that, yeah, once you put Batman in that situation, there was kind of like no going back to just being kind of a white hat. He lives in this somewhat gray area now. And I guess you just hope to stay out of his way and don't draw attention or, you know, prevent him from his quote-unquote mission. All right, I think that's going to wrap it up. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us. Please visit us at thecomicsourceblog.com for past episodes of the podcast. You can also watch episodes of our YouTube channel there. You can find links to our sketch gallery. Also, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource, or do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to keep up to date on all new episodes and convention coverage. And don't forget about our exclusive podcast in partnership with LRM Online, the 9-panel grid. You can go to LRM Online to enjoy new episodes every Tuesday, for the most part, and those cover a variety of topics. So I want to thank you all for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.